Okay, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our shiur. The topic of today's shiur is something which I think is an issue in our times that needs some clarification. Drinking as a Jew. The motivation for this shiur is because the parsha yesterday and two out of the last three parshas describe distinguished people who had major downfalls because they got involved with alcoholic beverages. So we had a couple weeks ago we had Noach, and yesterday we have Lot. And obviously, the situation with Lot became very controversial because in what came out of it and so forth, and the intrigue that in a certain sense resulted in the Malchus based of it. But nevertheless, we know that this, what they did, the Torah is frowned upon by the Torah, it's frowned upon greatly by the Chazal. So I would just like to speak about some inyanim that have to do with drinking. This is sort of a collection of halachas in different areas that have to do with drinking that I thought would be interesting pertaining to yesterday's parsha. Now, it happens to be that while it's true that the Torah paints a negative picture of people who got drunk, as we find by Noach and we find again by Lot, but we do know, on the other hand, that a lot of the things that we do, even mitzvahs that we do, involve drinking. Right? We have, for example, the making kiddush, making havdalah, kol shel bracha, at a chasana. But more than that, it's become the custom that at every simcha a person makes l'chaim, and we buy alcohol, buy scotch, liquor, various things, and this is a minhag Yisrael, and nobody could say that it's wrong. It's been done for so many generations. So in general, the practice that we have follows the principle the Torah tells us in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, that the Torah says Kedoshim Tiyu, and the Chazal, that aside from the mitzvahs, we have an overriding rule that we should be holy, and the Chazal interpret that to mean Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutalach, that a person should sanctify himself with those things that are permissible, meaning that the Torah allows a person a lot of the pleasures in life, but the challenge that we have is to sanctify ourselves, that it shouldn't bring us down. That where we see today, in all cultures really, but you see it today especially, how the indulgence in the pleasures of the world brings people down. So the Torah tells us, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutalach, that you're supposed to sanctify yourself. You're not supposed to necessarily refrain from it, but you have to do it in a way that fits in with a person's overall life mission, and therefore it's sanctified. It's a certain degree of self-control, and on the other hand, is able to express his human needs and rise to a higher level. I remember a number of years ago, the attachment of Klal Yisrael to drinking on special occasions came out. I had an experience. I have yard site for my mother in the 9 days, a few days before Tisha B'Av. So a number of years ago, I was a learning rebbe in a camp. I was the staff, one of the staff rabbeim, and the yard site came. And the minute of Klal Yisrael, the Chassidish minute, but it's widely practiced, is that when a person has yard sites, you bring in a tikkun, you bring in a bottle of scotch and some cake or whatever it is. So I did that. Herring. I did that. Herring, yeah. Well, not in camp, but so I did that, and I figured that I would start off. So I davened for Ahmed. That was obviously at the yard site, and then afterwards I went into the camp dining room, and I figured I'll go over to the Rav of the camp to be mechabed him. He should get the first one. It's an honor given to the Rav. I'll give him the first drink. So I come over to him. I say, I have yard site today. I make a l'chaim. So he says to me, liquor? What is this? During the 9 days? You can't drink that during the 9 days. So I looked at him and said, why not? I said, it's not wine. It's only wine. You see in the halacha it says you're allowed to drink beer. It's explicitly stated. So he said, the liquor is called, in the Chazal's terminology, yayin saraf. It's called yayin saraf because of the fact that one of the original forms of making alcohol, of making liquor, was that they would process grapes, I guess similar to what we have today with brandy or different things. It's called the yayin saraf. Anything that's wine is no good, so you can't drink even that during the 9 days. I've never heard this halacha before. I will not say who the Rav was, a very respected person. He happens not to be correct. It's mefurish. I found later it's mefurish in the Shari Tshuva, in the Shulchan Aruch, that he says that it does not apply to that. But this is what he said. So that was it. So I was derech eretz. I couldn't go any further. I was very upset. What? So I'll tell you what happened. So I was very dejected. Here I had this whole thing prepared, and it was shot down in the inception. So I walked out dejectedly from the dining room. I bumped into the learning director of the camp, who was a Hasidic Yid, who was a Hasidic Jew, and he asked me, what's upsetting you? So I told him what happened. He got so angry, he said, let me tell you something. If he would come into my shtiebel and say that psak, they would stone him with the bottles of scotch. So, all right. So you see from this that there's obviously a minig Yisrael that people do this. I would just like to speak a number of areas of halacha where this comes up, and one of them may be surprising. Okay, so the first area where it comes up, we have here on the sheet, the Gemara in Erevin tells us the following. The Gemara says, this is on slide one of the sheet. Sorry, the print is a little small, but if you look at the very top, so the Gemara tells us on the very top one, this is Samach Beis in Erevin, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ravuna, Shosui al Yispalo. The im Yispalo tfilo so tfilo. A person who has drunk, a person who has consumed alcohol should not daven, but if he davens, his tefillah is valid. He would not need to repeat it later. His tefillah is valid. However, shikur al yispalo. A person who is drunk, a shikur al yispalo, he is not allowed to daven. V'im hispalo tefillaso toeva. And if he davens, his tefillah is considered an abomination. Considered an abomination, and he's not yotzei the tefillah. He does not satisfy the requirement to daven. Okay, so we have the distinction between a person who has had some drinks and a person who is a shikur.
This is not talking about for the
Amid. Not for the Amid. Any person. Yeah, no, even privately. A person who davens even privately. Okay, so the Gemara says further, this obviously calls for some clarification. How do you distinguish between a shosli and a shikur? So if you go down, the Gemara says, the line before it gets wide, the Gemara says, in the middle of the line, hechi dami shosli vehechi dami shikur. What is the difference between these two things? Says the Gemara, kol sheyochol ledaber lefnei ha-melech. Shosui, kol sheyachol dabar lefnei ha-melech. The first designation, a person who is a shosui, a person who has consumed liquor, that is a person who can speak in front of a king. He can speak in front of a king, and the poskim say that it doesn't mean bidafka a king, but even in our, we don't have, in our culture, we don't have a king, but nevertheless, any person who's distinguished, any person who's prestigious, that you would go, you would be careful how you presented yourself to that person. So that would be a person who has had a few drinks or whatever, but he's still capable of having a good conversation. He's not afraid to enter into a conversation with someone who's distinguished, who's an important person. That is shosli. However, shikur is kol she'enu yochel ledaber lefnei ha-melech. A person who is not able to do that is considered in halacha a drunk. He's considered a shikur, and he is not allowed. He is a person who's davening, the Gemara says, is a toeva. Now, what's important to realize is, so we have two designations. We have the shosui, the person who's had something to drink, and the shikur, the person who is halachically drunk. But in both cases, the Gemara says, al yisfalo. The Gemara says that the person lechatchila should not daven, meaning even the person who is not halachically drunk should not daven. The whole distinction that exists is that if he davened anyway, if he didn't, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, he didn't care, and he davened, so has he fulfilled the obligation of tefillah? So a shosui has fulfilled it, because really, he's able to have a conversation with a king, so he's talking to the king of kings, all right, so b'dieved, that's okay. Whereas a shikur, a drunk, that person's tefillah is nothing. So we have here in the Shulchan Aruch, if you turn over the page, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Okay, now this comes up. This is one of the issues which, in the recent tekufa, in the recent era in Klal Yisrael, every generation has its own challenges, and new challenges come up. So one of the issues that has come up in the recent years has been the practice of people going out and making Kiddush in the middle of davening, right, especially on Shabbos, where this happens, and the question comes up. Obviously, there's been opposed widespread opposition. The Orthodox Union, more than 10 years ago, put out a statement, a position paper on this, where they said that, you know, they banned it from all their shuls. They urged all their shuls not to do it, and all the other shuls, all the other organizations pretty much followed suit. But one of the issues, you know, the people say, so what's wrong? What's wrong? So one of a basic problem which everybody raises is the fact that, well, it's not respectful to the davening, and you're walking out either in the Kriyas HaTorah or the Haftarah, which is also a chiyuv to hear even in our times, even though the reason for the Haftarah no longer exists, but nevertheless, we still have the obligation to say the Haftarah and to hear the Haftarah. But and also the rabbi's speech is disrespectful, that people walk out when the rabbi is speaking, or they're out when the rabbi is speaking. But from a practical standpoint, they could be initially allowed to daven like that. If you had a drink, if you had a couple of drinks, you went out to make Kiddush, now you come back, and a few minutes later, they daven Musaf. Especially if you stayed out for the drusha, right? So when are you returning back? You're returning back just in time for Musaf. So the question is, are you allowed to daven in that situation? So the Shulchan Aruch here says in Simen Tzadi Tes, the Shulchan Aruch says that Shosa Yayin Kidei Revius Al Yispalel Ad She Yosir Yeno. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following. If a person had only a revius of wine, a revius, let's say, would be 3 ounces of wine. And we're talking here about wine. If a person had 3 ounces, he should not daven. Ad She Yosir Yeno, until the wine, the effects of the wine have left him. The im shosa yoser, however, what happens if he had more than a revius? So then we say, im hu yochel ladaber lefnei melech, im ispal tefilos o tefilos. So then we say that it depends. If a person had, the presumption was that up to a revius of any alcohol drink, let's say wine, a person would not become drunk. That's a reasonable assumption. But if a person had more than that, so then it depends. If it depends what matzav he's in, what status he's in. Can he speak to a king? Can he speak to a prestigious person or not? If he feels a little bit, you know, over the edge, he feels a little tipsy, let's say, so that type of things, then he's not allowed to daven. That's already Eino Yochel Ladaber Lefnei HaMelech. That if he feels that he would not go into an important meeting with his boss in this frame of mind, right? Because he's afraid of what he might say, or you know. So therefore, that type of person not allowed to daven. And not only is he not allowed to daven, but if he davened, he's not yotze the tefillah. Tefillah so toeva, the Gemara says, that his tefillah is considered an abomination to Hashem, and therefore, because it's disrespectful, talk to Hashem that way. So the question is, how does this all shake down in practical terms? So, and here the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch are talking about a person drinking wine. So the Mishneh Berurah points out here, I'm not going to read all of it inside because it'll take a while, but the Mishneh Berurah points out that when it comes to other alcoholic beverages, such as scotch, whiskey, so then it really depends on the person. It depends on the person, and it depends how much he could handle. But if it's just a little bit, so then all right, a little bit probably doesn't do anything to anybody. But if a person had an amount of liquor that has some effect on him a little bit, even if it just, let's say, loosened him up, so to speak, but that already means that it had an effect on him. So then the halacha is that l'chatchila, a person shouldn't daven like that. In other words, achi yosiyeno, you have to wait till the effects of it pass. So a person, how long is that? So it's unclear. The poskim say that it's unclear how long that is. But every person has to judge for themselves. But certainly, if a person had a few shots and now is in a happy frame of mind, so to speak, so that could very well be that is ani yochel ladaber lefnei melech. But whatever the case may be, if the person is feeling the effects of the drink, he can't daven Shmoneh Esrei. You can't daven then. So, because even if it's not a shikr, even if it's a shosloi, even if it's a person who just had drinks, but the definition of a shosloi, the halacha says, is a person who's not drunk. He could speak, he could have an intelligent conversation, but it's affecting him. It's affecting him. He feels the effects of it. So if he's feeling the effects of it, so the halacha says, al yispalo. He should not daven. So this is an issue that we have to take into consideration, and especially if a person had several drinks, so then it could be it's worse. Then he's already ani yochel ladaber lefnei melech. Then he can't have a conversation with an important person in such a situation. Then even the evidi not yotze the tefillah. Then a person who said Shmoneh Esrei would have to repeat it. Would have to repeat it when he comes back to himself later on. So this is a halacha that comes up in a lot of situations. Obviously, the Kiddush Club has already been received its, you know, from all over the world, has received its criticisms and so forth. The idea, but the reality is, if a person needs to make Kiddush on Shabbos before Musaf, so you're allowed to. The Shulchan Aruch says, although it's not so simple, because the halacha is that you're not supposed to eat a lot of food before you daven Musaf. Right? If you ever wonder, how come on Shabbos morning we have such a long davening? So the answer is, well, because you have Shachris, and you have Kriyas HaTorah, and then you have a speech, and then you have Musaf. So everyone's looking today to change, to shorten things, and to make things more economical, whatever you want to call it. So I have a very good idea. Instead of davening Shachris and Musaf together, a very simple solution. Why don't we just daven Shachris and Kriyas HaTorah, and then go home, and then you'll come back later in the afternoon, and you'll have Musaf and Mincha. Why don't we do that? That would definitely make things a little more manageable. So the answer to this is, because the Shulchan Aruch states clearly that you're not allowed to eat a meal before you daven Musaf. In other words, you're not allowed to eat anything before you daven Shachris, unless a person feels very weak, then it would be mutter in a lot of cases. But a person who's healthy and feels fine, not supposed to eat anything before Shachris. But before Musaf, you're allowed to eat. But you're not supposed to eat a Suda. Not supposed to eat a Suda. So that's why it has to be this way. That's why it has to be that Musaf is always said together with Shachris, because you can't go home and eat the Shabbos meal before you daven Musaf. So now you could make the argument that what the Shulchan Aruch says here about the wine and the alcohol having an effect on a person is mitigated if you're eating food with it. Which is definitely a valid argument, because in Sif Beis here, the Shulchan Aruch says, maybe it's in Sifah, somewhere here, it says that if a person is eating mitoch hasuda, if a person is drinking in the midst of a meal, so then it's different. In other words, if you're sitting at your Shabbos meal or yontif, whatever it is, and you like to have some drinks, that's fine. And then, you know, you say, well, can I bench? Can I say the brachas later? So the answer to that is, generally speaking, the food that you have mitigates it. So you'll say, well, if we have Kiddush, so then it would be mitigated. But you have to be careful with that, because on the one hand, you have to have Kiddush b'makom suda, you have to have some food. You can't just drink and be yotzei Kiddush. On the other hand, you can't have a large feast, because of the fact you're not supposed to do that before you daven Musaf. So, okay, there are probably ways that you could work it out, that it wouldn't be a direct contradiction to the halacha, but I'm just pointing out that this is something that's not so simple. And it doesn't only apply to Kiddush Shabbos morning. This is in general. If a person wants to have a few drinks and then wants to go daven Ma'ariv, whatever it is, you come home at night, okay, after a long day at work, that's it, you know, we're going to relax. You take out a bottle, and they're fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. It's mutter. You know, we have a lot of things that are available. But the fact is that if you're then going to run out to daven, so this is a real question. This is a real question. If you could daven, there's even a question what brachos you could say in that situation, right? A person who is enu yochel adaber lefnei melech, the poskim say, can't even be counted into a minyan. In other words, in other words, even if he's not stone drunk, we'll get to stone drunk in a minute. A person who has had enough to drink that he can't sit and have a conversation, can't have an important conversation. He can't sit down with a king or with a political figure or some important person in his life and have a conversation. So that person, he's not drunk. He's not drunk. It's not like you're worried, you know, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to him, right? But the fact of the matter is that person, the Shulchan Aruch says, cannot be counted into a minyan. Okay, if you need him for a minyan, you have to wait till he chills out, right? So therefore, we have this new designation. I guess to us, we would say that DUI means davening under the influence, right? In other words, this is a question. Halacha, can you do such a thing? So it's not so simple. So therefore, as a practical matter, the Jewish concept in general is not to get drunk, because the third designation which the Mishnah Berurah brings here, again, in the interest of saving time, I'm not going to read inside, but the Mishnah Berurah says that a person who's totally drunk, a person who can't, you know, he's totally out of things, he's not responsible for his actions, so this is called higia l'shichrusel shalot. This is a person who has reached the level of Lot, like we had in the parasha yesterday, that Lot was so beside himself, was so out of his mind that he engaged in an incestuous relationship with his daughters, and with something which would not have happened had he not been that way. So this level, says the Mishnah Berurah, that a person who is igia l'shechrusa shalot is potter from mitzvahs. This person is potter from mitzvahs. He has the status, the halachic status of a shalot. He has the halachic status of a deranged person. So therefore, any mitzvah that the person would do, if the person engaged in a business deal at that moment, it wouldn't be valid. It wouldn't be chal. And if a person davened or did any mitzvah at that time, he would have to repeat the mitzvah. And anything he did, if he was a kohen and he engaged in a pidyon habeni, had a few drinks before, you know, I figure he'll get in a good mood, and he comes in stone drunk to the pidyon habeni, it's not a pidyon habeni. Because anything that he does, anything that would happen in a situation like that, he's potter from mitzvahs. He is totally potter from mitzvah. So this obviously is a state of being that we frown upon greatly. As we know, it's the great exception to this is on Purim. On Purim, we say that there is an inyan for a person to get drunk, but that's once a year. That's once a year. And that's a special, as the Gedolim say, that's a heter on an isser. That's on Purim. We have a special permission to do something that is forbidden the rest of the year. And the reason, obviously, for all of this, the underlying musar, the underlying philosophy behind all of this, is that Hashem created every person with the Tzelem Elokim. Hashem gave every person a mind, the ability to think, the ability to choose right from wrong, the ability to perceive truth from falsehood, emes from sheker. And when a person puts himself out of his mind, so then he is sort of rejecting the gift that Hashem gave him. He's rejecting the gift Hashem gave him. So that's an avla. That's not something that's acceptable. So yeah, it's true that a person wants to be freilich, a person wants to be happy. Okay, sometimes you need to have a drink in order to get into the right frame of mind. Fine. But we go by with the dictum that the rabbis teach us, kaddish atzmecha b'mutalach, that a person has to sanctify himself with those in a way that is permissible, in a way that's uplifting. So a person goes to a simcha and he wants to get into the simcha, so he has a little drink to loosen himself up. Very good. He's going to channel that into being misameach. He's going to go over to the bal simcha and give him a bracha and give him a mazel tov and a hug and dance with him. Great. That's terrific. If a person feels that he's very stressed out, and in order to be able to function in his relationships, you know, the person is stressed and short, becomes short on patience, and it's easy to get into a fight, and it could be even, you know, in a shalom bias situation. So, okay, a little drink here, fine. Nobody says that's wrong. Nobody says that's wrong. We find there's a special bracha, Bar Priya Goffin, that's made on wine. One of the reasons that's brought is because we have a pasuk in Tehillim, Yayin Yisamach Levavenosh. Wine makes a person happy. It's Misameach. It's Misameach. That's a good thing. It's a good thing that it's Misameach. But it has to be done properly. So if it's not done the right way, so then we have all kinds of halakhic problems, as we just delineated, and a lot of shilas come up. Even in basic performance of mitzvahs, a person, can a person say brachas? The truth is, I just want to say on Purim, then even though we say on Purim that it is permitted, and perhaps according to some interpretations of the Gemara, mitzvah to a person to go ahead and get drunk, but nevertheless, that does not override these halachas. So if a person gets drunk on Purim and then they have a minyan for Ma'ariv and he knows he's drunk, so then that he cannot participate in that davening. And if he did, when he sobers out, if he's still awake, he would have to say the Shemoneh Esrei again. It would not be Yotze, and the Mishnah Berurah says he would not be Yotze Kriya Shema either, and it would not be Yotze the Birchus Kriya Shema, so he'd have to say the whole Ma'ariv again. He accomplishes nothing by davening at that time. So therefore, this is the... And it can't be included in the minyan. So, you know, once upon a time, we spoke about Purim once many years ago. Purim is, once upon a time, people knew how to handle it. They say over the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter himself, they have witnesses who said that they saw that he was drunk, and the great Bal Musar and his students also used to do it and so forth. But, there's a joke they say over that they asked one of his great students, Rav Yitzchak Blazer was his name, he was known in the world, Rav Itzel Petterberger. So they once asked him that he used to get drunk on Purim. So they asked him, why do you do that? The Rambam says in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to get drunk. You could just drink enough that you'll fall asleep. And if you fall asleep, you fulfill the teaching of Adlo Yoda, that you want. The whole point is you shouldn't know the difference between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So you'll fall asleep, you'll accomplish that. So what do you have to do? You can take the easy way out. Why do you have to go get drunk? So he said, listen. He said, if Mordechai HaYehudi wanted to take the easy way out, he would have bowed down to Haman. He said, there were probably some heterim to bow down to Haman. That's why everyone else did it. But he didn't do it because he held that you have to go with the spirit of the law. So he said, the spirit of the law in Purim is to drink, so therefore I'm drinking. This is what he said. So, okay, so that's, but that's on Purim. That's not the rest of the year. The rest of the year, a person cannot do this. And as we say, there could be a serious questions in halacha. Yes.
So we said, lechachila, if a shosa drinks, he shouldn't daven.
Right.
But let's say the zman is for mincha.
If the zman is closing in on him, so it depends. So if he's a shosli, the Mishnah Berurah says that you look here in the Mishnah Berurah, it's discussed. I believe he says that if he's a shosli, if he's in the first level, then he could daven, especially if he davens from a sitter. The Ramah says if he davens from a sitter, it's a little better. But if he's any ochel daven from the melech, then he has to miss the zman. If he's had a few drinks, this could happen in any situation. Right? A person has too many drinks. Okay, moving right along. The next area. Yes,
sir. I'm missing what you are saying you can do on Purim. You can drink, you can be drunk, you can't be drunk.
No, I'm saying Purim is different. Purim is once a year. Purim, what the reasons for Purim are Purim is a special day, a very special day that for has a lot of depth to it. It's unfortunately usually missed. Because of the fact that it comes quickly on everybody, so nobody's prepared. People aren't spiritually prepared for Purim, so they don't appreciate.
You can't do that any other time.
You cannot do it any other time.
Right.
Simchas Torah, I don't know. Where does it say in Simchas Torah you can get drunk? Simchas Torah is a big question. Listen, I'm not saying on Simchas Torah, if a person wants to have a drink or two to be besimcha, that's fine, but he has to make sure, you know, listen, if by the hakafas, when they're dancing on Simchas Torah, so you take a couple of drinks, they're not davening musaf anytime soon. Right? And Meiriv the night before they davened already. So at least you have more flexibility, but that a person should get told, we see, unfortunately, I don't think Baruch Hashem here, you don't see it, but, you know, I remember growing up in many shuls where in Simchas Torah all kinds of shenanigans take place, you know, with due to the fact that people have had, too much to drink, and the tefillah, the musaf especially becomes very, very, done in a very disrespectful way. Okay. So that's the way.
Many shares, it seems like this share needs to be offered to 15 and 17 year olds and not,
Okay. Listen, you take what you can get. You know what I'm saying? Everything, as they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. So I don't think the kiddish clubs of the world are being I don't know what the word is, are being stocked by 15 and 17 year olds. So Purim, might be not, but the kiddish clubs are definitely not. The kiddish clubs are being, are attended by adults, and, so I think it is a relevant point. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm sure that doesn't listen, Kulanu Tzadikim, Kulanu Kedoshim, I'm not talking here, but I figure if all of us Tzadikim put out the word, so then even the people who it applies to will stop from doing it. Yeah, go ahead. Other substances, okay, I'm not getting involved with that. I think it has to do with the effect it has on a person's mind.
So it would be the same.
Probably. If it had that effect on a person's mind, they can't speak clear. In other words, the difference between being out of pain and being out, in other words, if a person is in such a state of mind, whatever you want to call it, that he can't converse in an important conversation. Okay. I don't know. It's hard to know. It's hard to say. Okay, it's hard to know. You'd have to ask a posik this question. I don't know. I just know what it says in the Gemara and the Mishnah Berurah, the poskim say it applies to alcohol. Okay, moving right along. Okay, I didn't even get to the controversial part yet. Okay, so now the if you turn back to the bottom of page one, another halacha which we have similarly in the Hilchos Yontif, just again in the context of you know, the drinking in the proper Kedushas Yisrael. So at the very last halacha in the Hilchos Yontif, in Simen Tavkuf Chavtes, in the bottom of page one, And by the way, the numbers 1 and 2 are on the bottom of the page. Right? So it says, Chayavin Bezdin Lahamid Shotrim Berigolim, that the Bezdin, this is talking in every generation, is supposed to appoint officers, Sheyu Mishotetim Mechabsim Beginus Pradesim, Shlo Yiskabsu Shem Lechov Lishos Anoshim Vinoshim, Vyavoli De Avera. There was always a concern on Yontif. Yontif obviously is something that we always enjoy. But there's a potential hazard, is that when people get into states of enjoyment, sometimes they lose themselves. And it's particularly concerning when you lose yourself in mixed company. If you have men and women sitting together and people start drinking, so then even the best of intentions, it's just the way it is. And when you start off in a happy place to begin with, let's say at a wedding where everyone's besimcha, and now you're going to start drinking and you have men and women sitting together, so unfortunately lines could be crossed and you can get into trouble, and this is something which unfortunately bismanenu is not a far off concern, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch goes so far as to say that it's the job of every bezdin, every community, to make sure that this doesn't happen. And then he says further, he says it's all in the name of Simcha. He says, V'chein yaziru b'davar zeh l'chol ha'am shelo yizarvu anashim v'nashim b'vateihem b'simcha. That you shouldn't have men and women getting together at home in a state of Simcha, v'yimshechu b'yayin, and drinking wine. In other words, it's not a good idea. In those situations, you always have to be on guard. It's very important in life, a person to know the context that they're in. There are different contexts, you know, there are certain times that are more prone to a person losing themselves than others. Generally, when you're in a festive occasion, so you're already starting off in a certain frame of mind. So if that's true, and then you add some fuel to the situation, you bring some alcoholic beverages, and you have men and women sitting together, it could unfortunately result in undesirable results. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch tells Hilchos Yontif that a person has to be careful. It doesn't mean that you can't invite company, and it doesn't mean that you can't invite company and have wine on the table, but what it does mean is that there has to be some vision, some planning involved, that we're not going to let this become a free-for-all. In other words, we're not, just because it's Yontif, just because it's Simchas Torah, just because it's whatever it is, a happy occasion, or a Sheva Brachas, or whatever, we're not going to sit down and just lose ourselves completely. There has to be some concern because of the fact that unfortunately this could result in a bad, undesirable effect, and sometimes could lead to real disaster. So therefore, this is a point. This is, again, along the lines of Kaddish Atzmacha B'Mutaloch. The rabbis are not saying therefore you shouldn't drink. They're not saying that, and they never said that. But what they are saying is that a person who does so has to be careful. You have to know. The same way today in the world, they always tell you if you drink, you have to have a plan. How are you going to get home? Are you going to a bar Friday night? They tell people, make sure you have a way to get home. You shouldn't have to drive your car home. So the world has taken note of this. The world has taken note of this problem, that it requires such a thing. They're not closing the bars, they're not going back to the days of prohibition, but the fact is that they're saying you have to have a plan. So we also agree with that. You have to have a plan. A person has to have some sort of plan in advance. And even though everyone's besimcha, and again, you say, well, what do you think I am? You could be offended by this, but I'm showing you it's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch, that he's talking to all of Klal Yisrael. And this was said by the Beis Yosef, right? He's talking to all of Klal Yisrael. He says that it's a human nature. It has nothing to do with anyone's personal status. Or, this person's looking for trouble. No, but he's not talking about people looking for trouble. He's saying that trouble could sometimes come by itself. It comes on its own because of the fact that it wasn't planned carefully enough. Okay, another, moving right along. Speaking of, making l'chaim at simchas, an amazing halacha, which I just came to my attention recently, based on the Gemara Nedarim, this was actually based on the pasuk in last week's Pasha. I think this will come as a surprise to most people. The Gemara tells us, we had last week in the Pasha, that after the war, with Avram Avinu and the four kings, and Avram was victorious. So it says that two people came out to greet him. So the king of Sodom came out to greet him, and then Malki Tzedek, Melech Sholem, Hotzi Lechem Yayin. It says that he was greeted by Malki Tzedek, the king of Sholem, which the Chazal say was the city what we call today Yerushalayim, and this was none other than Shem, the son of Noach. And he brought out Lechem Yayin, he brought out some refreshments for Avram, his appreciation, and he proceeded to go ahead and give two brachas. He said, Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koni Shemayim Va'aretz. He said, first of all, that blessed should be Avram to Hashem, In other words, blessed should be Avram for what he did, his heroic act. And then he said, Ubaruch Hashem, well, I don't have it in front of me, but something to that effect, that blessed is Hashem, Asher Migen Sarecha Biadecha, who went ahead and protected you from your enemies. So he gave a bracha to Avram, and then he gave a bracha to Hashem. In the course of that, those psukim, the Gemara, when it speaks about the Malkit Tzedek, it says, Vehu Kohen Lekel Elyon, that he was a Kohen Lekel Elyon. So the Chazal were concerned, we found interesting, what's the word Vehu? It should just say Malkit Tzedek Kohen Lekel Elyon. What's Vehu? So the Gemara in the Dharm tells an amazing thing. The Gemara in the Dharm says that, remarkably enough, okay, Amar of Zechariah Mishum Rabbi Shmuel is here on page 1 on the left-hand side in the Dharam Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahotzi Kahuna Misham. That Hashem was interested and did remove the kahuna. That whatever it meant, that Malki Tzedek was a Kohen to Hashem, whatever that meant, but it was taken away from him, it was stripped from him. Why? Shenemar V'hu Kohen L'Kel Elyon. He was a Kohen. And the Gemara proceeds to say, Hu Kohen Vein Zaro Kohen. That he was a Kohen, but it did not pass on to his children. Usually a kahuna is passed down to children. If a man is a Kohen, his sons become Kohanim as well. Nevertheless, in this case, it did not happen. Why not? So the Gemara says, Kivan Shehiktim Birchas Avram with Birchas Hamakom, because of the fact that when it came to giving a bracha, he gave a bracha to Avram before he gave a bracha to Hashem. And this was wrong. This was wrong. You're giving brachas, first give a bracha to Hashem. You have to have a little priorities here. First say something to Hashem, and then say something to Avram. Okay? So he didn't do this. It's something we don't even notice. You could read the parasha 100 times, you wouldn't even notice it. But this is what the Gemara tells us. It's that this was a mistake, and because of this, the kahuna was taken away from him. Fine. What does it have to do with us? So comes along the Kaf HaChaim. It's not on the sheet. The Kaf HaChaim, and it's also in the Tshuvas of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that he says that therefore when you come to a simcha, right, so you go over, you call it to someone's simcha, and you want to make a l'chaim with him. So what do? So you take a little cup of schnapps, right, a cup of, put some scotch or whatever it is, and you walk over to the person, and you say, l'chaim, l'chaim, baruch atah Hashem, l'chaim, l'chaim, shakol ni'eh b'dvorah. Right, that's what everyone does. So that's Malkit Tzedek. That means you made l'chaim, you gave him a bracha, before you gave Hashem the bracha. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to first take a little something to drink, make a bracha, take something to drink, and then go give the l'chaim. So you think this is a crazy thing. This is brought in several poskim, and I heard this from Rav Herschel Schachter, and I spoke to him the other day. I called him to verify it, and he said that he told me a story. He said that one time he was invited to a siyum somewhere in New York. He was invited to a siyum. And they were sitting there, and he was not the presiding rav. There was a rav there, and the people, it was a big occasion. They had finished learning a masechta, and they had spent many years learning it, and they're about to make the l'chaim. And the rav said to them, he pointed this out. He said, before you go ahead and do this, they're all making a toast to the great occasion. He said, before you do this, first say the bracha. You have to give the bracha to Hashem first. So he said, so the master of ceremony said, fine, Rabbi. And then he took a drink. Okay, so that was also not the right thing to do, because that's a hefzik between the bracha and the drinking. So the right thing to do is to say the bracha first, and then take a little something to drink, and then make a l'chaim. Is this the worst aveira in the world if you don't do it? No. And it's, in fact, in the Kaf HaChaim, he actually mentions that not everyone agrees with this, but nevertheless, he ends up saying that it's the right thing. So just something to be, if you ever want to go one up on somebody at the next simcha, you're sitting at the table, and you want to, you're bored waiting for the chasen and kala to finish taking pictures, so you want to start trouble, this is a good thing. I guarantee you that someone at the table has not heard this before. Okay, so this is a guaranteed winner, okay, and whatever it is. Not the biggest deal, but it's in terms of Derech Eretz, it's the right thing to do. Okay. Yeah, that's right. See, you're saying you have to find out that he made a bracha too. Yeah, all right, so, okay.
So this could be the third time you walk up with someone.
Yeah, that's true. All right, whatever. Just something to keep in mind. Something to keep in mind in case if it happens, it's an interesting thought. It's an interesting thought. We don't realize what we're doing, but you're giving the person the bracha, you give Hashem the bracha, so it's not, that was Malki Tzedek's mistake. Okay, now we come to the more controversial discussion here. Okay, so the Gemara tells us, we turn back to page one, the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah says the following. Okay, the Gemara says five lines from the end of that little section. The Gemara says, we know that in Maseches Avodah Zarah is listed off a number of halachas that we have that were instituted by the rabbis in order to keep Jews and Goyim separate, in order that Jews should not intermingle with Goyim, because there was a great concern for assimilation and intermarriage. And if that was ever true in the history of the Klal Yisrael, it's certainly very true in our times, where you have total acceptance of Jews, even religious Jews, by non-Jews. And, you know, once upon a time, in the bitter years of the Golis, Jews were shunned by the Goyim, and therefore there wasn't such great concern. But today we have an opposite situation, where everyone's very welcoming, we're all friends, everybody's equal, and so forth. So we have the following. So the Gemara tells us, Itmar, Mipnei ma amru sheikhar sholavdei kochavim, Mipnei ma asru sheikhar sholavdei kochavim. There's a halacha that says that you're not allowed to drink the beer of a non-Jew. Okay, now what does this mean? We'll soon see. You're not allowed to, don't get nervous. You're not allowed to drink the beer of a non-Jew. Why is this? So, Rami Bar Chama, Amr of Yitzchak, Mishum Chasnus. Rami Bar Chama said in the name of Yitzchak that this is a concern of Chasnus. This is a concern of intermarriage, that if you socialize, in other words, the drinking, people drinking together was a form of socializing, which it still is today. And there was a great concern that if there will be mingling between Jews and non-Jews, it could lead to intermarriage. For that reason, the rabbis banned Sheikhar. Rav Nachman Omar Mishum Gilur. Rav Nachman gives a different reason. Okay, the Gemara proceeds to say that this prohibition of Sheikhar Shalav Dekachavim is sort of toned down a little bit, because it says it's only prohibited to drink it in the place where the guy sells it. However, if you take it to your own home, the Gemara relates two incidents of Amoraim. In one situation, the person took it out and drank it outside, and that was acceptable. And there was another person who took it home and drank it. But to drink it in the place where this drink is being offered is not correct. Is not correct. So now what is this? Now we have to understand that this is, we'll say, this goes together with a lot of the other things that we have, let's say the prohibition of bishul akum and food that was cooked by a non-Jew, pas akum, bread that was baked, right, stam yenum, the wine of a non-Jew. But here there's one fundamental difference, and that is that by all of those things, we care about who made it. We care about who made it. If a guy baked the bread, we have an issue. If the guy cooked the food, we have an issue. Here, it doesn't matter who made it. Here, we find a prohibition which has to do with location. It's all location. Where are you drinking this drink? If you're drinking it in the place where it's being offered, so then the rabbi said you should not do it mishum chasna. So says the Gemara. Now, how does this play out in halacha? So in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not on the sheet, but in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya in Simen Kuf Yedalet, it says that kol sheikhar sholavdei kochavim, that all alcoholic beverages of non-Jews, even if it's made from dates, or it's made from figs, or from wheat, is aser mishum chasnus. It is prohibited to drink because of this concern that it could lead to assimilation. Okay? Ve'eno aser el b'makom mechiraso. The Shulchan Aruch says, however, it is only prohibited in the place where it's sold. It's only prohibited in the place where it's sold. Okay? Avolim hevi ha-sheikhar l'beisel v'shoseh u'sham. If a person takes it home, so then it would be mutter. She'ikar ha-gzeira shem yisad etzlo. Okay? Because the main concern is that you shouldn't get too comfortable. So if you take it home, in other words, how would this play out to us? Can a Jew go into a bar? Can a Jew go into a bar? Right? Big question that we have today, right? Traditionally, it's not the place that you would expect to find Jews, but today, due to certain realities in the business world and so forth, sometimes you have to go out with the chevra for a drink, right? So you say, well, you go into a bar, almost everything, assuming you stay away from the wine, everything else is kosher, right? Pretty much, you know, the scotch, all the vodka, whatever they have there, pretty, you know, most of it is kosher. So what should be the problem? So the problem is here, and this is not well known, the problem is that there is a concern that when you go into a place which is made for socializing, and you have a drink, so even if it has nothing to do with kashrus, the concern here, if you look in the sugya and you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it's all kosher. And we're not worried that the guy, when you weren't looking, poured in some chazer. That's not the issue, right? It's 100% kosher l'chatchila, right? But the concern is that you're just socializing with him in this type of establishment. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber Beis Yosef says that it is prohibited to do this, and the only way it would be mutter is if you take it home. If you take it home, because then you've got why. Well, you'll say, what's the difference? If Bishul Akum, for food that was cooked by a guy, doesn't matter where you eat it, right? You take it home, makes it better? No. So here, it's because the Isser is the context. The Isser is the location. So you can't have it in this place. So if you can't have it in this place, if you take it to your place, then fine, because the guy's not going to follow you home. And even if theoretically he did, you're on your turf. So it's a little bit better. Okay, but if you're on his turf or in a non-Jewish environment and you're sitting and drinking in a place where the context is social drinking, so then the Shulchan Aruch says it's usur. So says the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, and that is his bottom line psak. Okay, that's the bad news. Okay, comes along the Ramah. So for the Ashkenazic world, all right, we could have a little bit of a hope. The Ramah comes along and says V'yesh Matirin. So the Ramah says that there are people that said that it's already mutter to drink what we call the scotch that we have, which comes from grains, you know, so the or beer, whatever, it comes from grains, so that already would be mutter. And the reasons that are given are not overwhelmingly convincing, but nevertheless, it seems that, you know, due to the nature of the situation that the Jews were living in, so they had to be makel, so they didn't just disregard the law, but they went into the sugi, they went into the discussion in the Gemara, and they started to make chilukim. They started to say, well, maybe it's only in this situation, not in that situation. The Ramah says it's mutter, but not for overwhelmingly convincing reasons. So if we you look here on the sheet, we have here the Chochmas Adam, which was written by, yeah. Not kashrus. No, no, it's 100% kosher. Well, everything you're drinking here has a big OU on it. No problem.
What's the topic?
The topic is that you're sitting in a bar drinking with the goyim. You're sitting in a bar drinking with goyim. That's the question. Okay, so now, yeah.
Is it about men or men and women?
No, just men. Just men, no women. Even without women. Even without women. Just men. Because the concern is that there was always the concern of assimilation, and as much as sometimes you say, oh, come on, but look at the world we have today. You know, it used to be that Goyim wouldn't get near Jews. They weren't interested in Jews, right? That they didn't want to marry Jews. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. But today it's vanavochu. Today the world is the opposite. The Chaste Hashem, we live in a culture that's very accepting of us. It's very accepting, and therefore, to the contrary, everybody's good friends. Everybody's good friends. So therefore you go, there's no problem. You wear a yarmulke, doesn't make such a difference either. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, you know, the nice person.
On an airplane.
Okay, so hold on. So let's see. So comes along the Chochmas Adam. So the Chochmas Adam was written about approximately 200 years after the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rabbi Avram Danziger, was a great Rav. He lived in the same time as the Vilna Gaon. He was very close with the Vilna Gaon. And he, in the late 1700s, and he was already somewhat skeptical, okay, because in the interim, between the time of the Shulchan Aruch and the late 1700s, there came one of the great Achronim, Rav Yaakov Emden, and Rav Yaakov Emden went so far as to say that in his opinion, what the Ramah said doesn't really apply. And not only that, here comes the bad news, dun-da-da-dun, he said that it applies even to drinking coffee in a coffee house with a non-Jew. How do you like that? Okay, Starbucks, no more, right? In other words, he said that's what he said. So comes along the Chochmas Adam, and he says here, this was written to sort of bring things up to speed, and he wrote it in a format that was much easier for the average person to understand. So he writes here, he says over the halacha that the Ramah says, and he said it's really mutter. He said, look, the Ramah was the Rav of all the Ashkenazic Jews and the greatest authority, and therefore we don't just blow off what he said. He said it's mutter, so he says it's really mutter. Right? And he said, because really, the, he says, you know, not only if you bring it to the house, but even if you drink it there, he says, Yesh Mekilim, he says about four lines from the end, this is on page one, he says, Ki Yesh Mekilim, there are people who are lenient, Avol Roy L'chol Bal Nefesh L'Harchik Mizeh. He said, however, it is appropriate for any Bal Nefesh, any person who really wants to go in the spirit of the law, to the spirit of the law, not just the black and white, the technical law, but the spirit, that he really shouldn't do this. He says, V'kol Zeh B'Sheikh Hashem Motzli. He says, this is only true about the common types of drinks, and then he says, if it's an uncommon type of drink, it would be mutter. But then if you go down two lines later, he says, V'avonaseinu Arabim B'zmana Zeh Kama Kilkulim B'amizeh. He said, look, I'm not saying this in theory. He says, I'm saying this based on practice. This man was a Rav. And he said, there are a lot of problems that come from this. Even in Europe, even in Eastern Europe where he lived, where there was a great deal of non-acceptance, the Jews amongst Goyim, but nevertheless, he said that he's aware of a lot of problems that took place from this type of thing. So he says, Al-Kain, he says, Ubifrat, here it is, Ubifrat, Lishtos, Kaveh im Cholav, he says, and specifically, in particular, to drink coffee with milk, Shu Oser Gomer, right, Milvad Sha Yidei Zech, Atz V'Sholom Bo Yidei Znuski Adua, he says, this could lead to all kinds of problems, Al-Kain Kosher Bo Reach HaTorah Yachik Mizeh. He says, therefore, any person who has the Reach HaTorah, any person who has the fragrance of Torah, the spirit of Torah in him, should distance himself from going into such a place. Okay, so what do we do about this? So this is problems. Okay, so it's problems for a lot of reasons. Yes, go ahead.
Doesn't seem just because of the reason in and of itself, you go into an establishment like that,
right?
You're with other
fruit. Okay, good, fine. So I got that right now. So here we need a heter. Okay, we need a heter. First of all, Pastor Shalom, that anyone should get up and say that you can't go into Starbucks. Right, even though there are people for other reasons who you maybe say you have to be careful with the kashrus a little bit, but all right, but it's accepted. It's accepted that there are a lot of circles that people do, it's fine. But the question is, but you know, are we going to take this to that extent? But even more so, even going into a bar, it's not so simple today, because today, in today's world, the reality is that a lot of, and especially for a Jew, a religious Jew has enough problems. He can't take the guy out to eat, because he can't go into the restaurant that the guy wants. You know, what's he going to do? So it creates a whole bunch of problems. So you figure, all right, Baruch Hashem, I'll take him to a bar. I'll take him to a bar. At least everything's kosher. Right? I'll go to a bar. I'll stay away from the problem. So, but here you see that it's not true. You're not staying away from the problem. So what would be the hetter for this? So it's really not so clear. So let's start from the easy and work our way out. The easiest way to get out of this would be to make the argument Dr. Brody just made, which would be that if you say that if you're going without a client, let's say you're just going a couple of Jews together. So if you're going a couple of Jews together, so then already you could say that, look, we're not interested in talking to anybody else. So let's say you went to a bar, you won't sit by the bar. Sitting by the bar, I think traditionally, sort of lends itself that they're like fair game to other people. But if we'll sit off at a table, we'll have our own little table in the corner, and we're gonna go out. So then already, it could be that probably, you could say, would be better. No question. Now, what happens if your client is non-Jewish, and you're taking him to such a place? So then already it's questionable, because on the one hand, you're with a non-Jew. On the other hand, but you're staying away from the tzibur. I'm not mixing with everybody. Right? So, okay, these are questions. These are questions that need to be asked. I'm not here to paskin all these shilohs. These are questions that could be asked. A person could ask their Rav what his opinion is in such a case. I think a lot of times it would depend, you know, how far you want to push it would depend on how great the need is. You know, sometimes you have some people in certain situations where they must do this. What do you want me to do? I can't compete in this market. I can't compete in this field unless I have the ability to go somewhere. I have to take the client somewhere. So give me a place where I can take him. I take him to Carvel, the Krispy Kreme. It's not going to work. I got to take him. So you'll say, what happens if you go into, So some people say, go to the bar and get a soda. Go to the bar and get a soda. Now, I think that probably doesn't do it. I've never done this. Okay. So here there's a range of opinions from here to the moon. I'm just telling you. So this is it depends who you ask, and it depends It depends. You know, there are definitely polskim that say, even right-wing polskim who say that it's really, that, you know, to go to Starbucks, they say it is no problem. They say it's no problem because if you go to Starbucks, usually people who go to Starbucks don't go to socialize, right? You go to Starbucks, usually either you go, a person goes out with his wife, or he goes out with a friend, or whatever it is. So you have no interest in speaking to anybody else. If you have no interest, and you're drinking coffee, so already the Gemara's Gzeira was not on coffee, the Gemara's Gzeira was on alcoholic beverages. So Starbucks is pretty much according to, pretty much, there are, you'd be surprised who says you can't. But there are people out there who say that you shouldn't do it. But if you're going and your intention is just to go a couple of Jewish friends and have no interest in speaking to anybody else, all right, that's already, that's pretty much is accepted. That's okay. Okay, the bigger question is to go to a bar with a non-Jew. So there already, it could be a little dicey. You know, what the heter is for this? I am not interested I don't feel qualified. I don't know the sugya well enough to have an opinion. But there are definitely opinions out there. Should this come up in a case of great need, a person could consult with his rav. But if in the absence of a great need, there is no question that a person should not do this. And it might be better, so you'll take him to a kosher restaurant. Hopefully there's some nice, Baruch Hashem, nowadays you have upscale kosher restaurants in certain communities, and that's a very good thing that they do that, despite the high price tag, because it makes it possible for people in these situations to entertain clients. They need a heter. You can't, to the treif restaurant, you can't go. To the bar, you can't either go. So where are you gonna go? So at least we have some avenue of permissibility. But this is a real question that a person has to look into, because this is a din in the Gemara. This is not a minute, you know, something that developed in the last couple of years. This is a din in the Gemara. It's not famous. This is not famous, but this is a din in the Gemara. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and all the poets, the Rambam has it, everybody has it. So it's an issue that might bear, you know, might be a good idea to look into it, and whatever, if a person, you know, yes, go ahead.
What about in a workplace, like, where they have a large break room?
So it's hard to know. If it's just a cafeteria where they sell all kinds of things, so it's not designated for drinking. If it's not designated for drinking, in other words, you went to, nowadays many restaurants have bars in them. But if it's essentially a restaurant, so then, all right, that's not what they meant, let's say. But in other words, because people are going there to eat, and they have a bar just in case you want to drink. Okay, but if it's a place, in other words, in this context, the Chazal were referring to a place where a person is going to socialize. In other words, a restaurant is not really that. A restaurant primarily for eating, even though you might have other agendas, but it's primarily for eating. But a place where you go for drinks is really, you don't just sit there and drink, right? They don't have drunks going into such establishments. Into an upscale bar, you don't have people, you know, who just go there because they're addicted to drinking, right? It's people that go, they go on business, whatever it is. So in that situation where it's made for that, it's made for socializing, that's where you have the issue. So I'm just pointing it out. Yeah, go ahead.
Like a conference or a trade show.
A conference or trade, so also it's probably not what they meant. And on an airplane is also not what they meant. And the main reason why they sell alcohol on planes anyway is because people have anxiety about flying, and therefore they calm themselves down by drinking. So that is true. That's the reason. Why? Exactly, right. Right, okay. So whatever. But I'm just pointing it out that this is, you know, you're familiar with the inyan. If a person has the shiloh in real life, you can speak to his rav and find out. These are some, Rabbi says, these are some of the halachas. I didn't cover everything I had, but these are some of the halachas that pertain to a Jew drinking. So it's important to bear in mind that in as much as we all like to have a drink now and then, but it has to be in the spirit, in the framework, Kaddish Atzmucho B'Mutaloch, that a person has to uplift himself and sanctify himself through doing this and not allow it to get the better of him and bring him down.